well in the second section of the of the Vera Gaila. And he goes, if you open the door and crack it, just a crack, so just for that, at least people know. Okay, and it is section Yud. Section Yud.
Which one is it again, please?
Ber Hasheni, section Yud. Okay. The Gemara, the passage in the Gemara that he is coming to explain here, is from the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim. The Gemara in Maseches Pesachim says as follows. Gemara is speaking here about, it's in the fourth perek, Tachnun Dalet. Gemara speaks about the various things that were, you know, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, were created on the last moment before Shabbos. The Gemara really starts its discussion by speaking about the lighting of candles and the making of a bracha on the fire on Motzoi Shabbos. The Gemara says that they said name Rav Yechlan imavarchan al ar elab Motzoi Shabbos hay utchilas b'yaseu. You only make a bracha on the fire on Motzoi Shabbos because the fire was created originally on Motzoi Shabbos. And the Gemara goes on to speak about Motzoi Shabbos, Motzoi Yom HaKippurim, but it brings ultimately this statement, the following statement. Yeah, here, okay. Says the Gemara, the Tanya, Rabbi Yosi Eimer, Shnei Dvarim. There are two things that olu b'machshava liboreis b'erev Shabbos. They, so to speak, entered Hashem's mind to be created on Erev Shabbos, on Shabbos Eve. V'nivru ad Motzoi Shabbos, but they weren't actually created until Motzoi Shabbos, till after Shabbos. U'Motzoi Shabbos, nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu deya b'adam arishayim. Motzoi Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put deya, wisdom, into man. Me'ein dugma shalmala, comparable to the divine wisdom, and he brought two stones, the tachanan zubizu, and he ground them against each other, the yotza mihen oir, and the fire came out, and he brought two animals, v'irkiv zubizu, and he wedded them to each other, whatever it was, he mated them with each other, the yotza mihen peret, and from there came out the mule. So these were the two things that were, so to speak, left to be created on Motzoi Shabbos. They were left to be created on. They were left out from creation. There was something which was to be created. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a certain sense, as we're saying, you know, as creation was finishing, He wanted them to exist in the world. It was, you know, Erev Shabbos, as time was winding down, He wanted them to exist in the world. But in the end, He left them. And man, on Motzoi Shabbos, man, after creation, he created them. And that's how the Pered emerged. The Gemara discusses, well, did the Pered come right away? Did it not come right away? Was the mule developed right away? You have in the Pasuk, right, Hu Ana Asher Motzas Hayemim Bamidbar, the Gemara says it speaks about one of the later generations, but nevertheless, the Gemara speaks about these two things that were left. And they were left for man in order to be able to produce. So the Maral brings this Gemara, and he says this is a Gemara which they struggle with, which they find difficult, strange. He says, I'm not sure exactly why. He says, maybe they find it strange because it says Hashem wanted to and then He changed His mind, and they don't understand how Hashem changes His mind. That could be what bothers them. The other thing that could bother them is, he says, perhaps to say this thing that Adam went and mated together these two different kinds of species, which, you know, kiloyim, whether they're worried about the Torah prohibition or it just altogether seems, you know, an inappropriate thing. So what's the idea, what's the pshat behind this Gemara? Okay, so I'll share with you the interpretation of this Gemara you know, based on the Maral, we'll just, you know, sort of try to fill it out with a couple of elements, but the basic idea, you know, much of the basic idea we find here again within the Maral. This is why we make a Bayre Me'arei Ha'esh on Matzai Shabbos, and we don't make it on Matzai Yontiv, for instance, if it's not Shabbos. We only make it on Matzai Shabbos, with the exception of Matzai Yom Kippur, which has its own qualifier. It's not a commemoration of the creation of the fire, but it has to be a Ner Shashava, since that's a day when you can't use fire at all, right? Shabbos also, but you can't, right? Shabbos has the additional value that it's the Ursh and Iver of Matzai Shabbos, Yom Kippur, so you can't use the fire at all, Ner Shashava, so we have that aspect. We're not going to go into that in any great detail. But regularly you don't, right? And that happens also, right? Somebody, I don't remember anymore what the situation was. It was an Avela situation, but you know, a person doesn't make can't make Havdalah Matzai Shabbos. Let's say Tisha B'Av, right? That comes out on Matzai Shabbos. So we make a Bari Mari Ha'ish on Matzai Shabbos, even though we don't make the rest of Havdalah, right? Because we're not eating. Right? We don't make the rest of Havdalah, but we make the Bari Mari Ha'ish before Eicha because this is the only chance. If a person, for instance, was in Avelus, or Aninus rather, right, and they couldn't, right, they had a relative who passed away and wasn't buried yet, so they don't do the mitzvahs, and Matzai Shabbos they won't make Havdalah, so the funeral's on Sunday, and after the funeral they have to make Havdalah, but they're not going to make a Barim Mary Ha'esh, because they won't make a Barim Samim either, but they won't make a Barim Mary Ha'esh because it's not Matzai Shabbos, it's not the anniversary of the creation of the fire. We make a bracha on the fire. We don't make a bracha on the. You don't make a bari mine predim. You know, you don't go search out a mule. Right? You'll have, right? It would make for a very, very difficult silver havdalah kit if you'd have to come up with one of those. But we do it specifically on the esh. And really, that nekuda, that point, is one of the fundamental parts, ideas to what the Maral understands as the presentation here. And we'll tell you, we're basically at the core of what the Maral is trying to what the Maral presents here in terms of understanding this is, that what Hashem created in the Sheishis Yemei Bereishis, in the 6 days of creation, was the basics of Teva. Nature. He created nature as it was, yes. He went beyond creation of the elements, right? He didn't just create, the Ofar, Ruach, Mayim, and whatever the primordial Esh, the primordial fire element is. He then went and developed them. That was in the original, as the Ramban explains the first verses in the Chumash, that when we describe Hashem created the heavens and the earth before anything else, before light, so that's when Hashem created the basic elements from which all of creation ultimately is composed. And yes, plants and animals and all of these things are also composite creations. But they are composite creations as they are developed by the what we call the Teva, what we call the nature of the world. Self-generating, self-perpetuating, building itself. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, the engine which HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in the world for this to be able to happen. But beyond Teva, beyond nature, there's also possibility for intervention. And there are two realms in which that intervention takes place. One realm in which that intervention takes place is when Hashem makes miracles that are shelo kederech HaTeva. When Hashem makes miracles that go beyond nature. And the other realm where it takes place would be where man goes and fiddles with nature. You understand? Again, there are things which, had there been no man that would have walked upon the face of the earth, the world would have still, in a certain sense, maintained its own development, right? If water would have come down, rain without man, and the plants would have continued to grow, and they would have produced fruits, and animals would have mated with each other and perpetuated, right? Limineihem, right? According to their species, and so on and so forth. And there is a certain, right? If you go now, and you'll go into some jungle someplace, which has never been really, really affected or developed by man, you'll see growing, developing things following the model and the basic pattern as established by the Sheishis Yemei Bereishis, as established through the 6 days of creation. Where in the world do we find things which are different from that? Well, here, you're sitting in a room, right? We see here all kinds of things, all kinds of items that are not miraculous. But on the other hand, they're not natural. They are the developments, the technological and otherwise, the manufactured developments which are created by man. That's going beyond nature. And then there's the other elements which go beyond nature, which would be the miraculous. Things which are not developed by man, they're developed by God, but other, in a different way than nature. Teva, normally, is a certain Adam Kibinog Onoeg. There's a certain way that the world goes, the way that the world turns, the way that the world continues to function. But when the unusual happens, and water comes from a rock, or a donkey starts to speak, or the earth opens up to swallow up Korach, and so on and so forth, these things are beyond. These things are God acting in a very, very different way, in a different way than nature.
These were all created by Ben Ashrosh.
Okay. So those things, the Gemara says, right, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Asara Dvarim, there are 10 things that were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. This same passage in the Gemara, they were created Friday at twilight. These, the Gemara says, also Hashem wanted to create on Erev Shabbos on Friday, but He didn't, and instead He left it for man to be able to do, to be able to go beyond. So let's try to look at this, try to approach this this idea in stages. Okay, stage number one, we're going to try to talk about this general family of things which would be different, and the idea of Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, you know, the Erev Shabbos creations, the Friday creations. Secondly, we're going to try to talk about the man, the component, what we're identifying here, the miraculous which existed on the one hand, and the role of man in changing and altering things that exist in the original creation. And thirdly, we're going to talk about the specific examples, or not examples, but the specific two items that the Gemara speaks about, that these were the two things that were created on Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos.
How do you reconcile a forest fire, which isn't started by man, and the Rebbeinu Shloim seems to have made this fire occur? Is this not Ness?
Lightning. Right. I don't think that's Ness. There's Teva. You know, a lightning strike is Teva. It's an Eish min Hashemayim, so to speak. It's a fire from the heavens, from the sky, but it's still very, very much a natural phenomenon. What we're speaking about over here is where fire would not exist. Right? He's in the middle of the desert, and he takes two stones and he rubs them together to produce a fire where it wouldn't exist if not for the creative efforts and interventionary efforts of man. Okay. 10 things were created.
The mechanics for that were there during
correct.
The creation. A flint was already there, and
the rocks were there. The horse was there. The donkey was there. Right? Bringing them together, this harkava, this merging them together, or whatever it is, this action that harnesses the various pieces in order to produce a result, only was developed by man on Motzei Shabbos. Okay, so first, the idea of Erev Shabbos. The idea of Erev Shabbos. The Maral himself, in a separate passage, not here in the Be'er HaGola, the Derech HaChaim, and elsewhere, his commentary on Derech HaChaim, commentary on Pirkei Avos, and elsewhere, the Maral speaks about the idea about these things which were created on Friday at twilight. And he says, you know, the twilight zone of Friday is the point where what we ourselves, you know, can't be mafchen, can't distinguish. Hashem, it says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world in 6 days, meaning Hashem used every moment, every instant of the 6 days of creation. We can't do that, right? We're not sure exactly when the sixth day ends, the seventh day begins, so we have a cushion. We have, during twilight, we don't work on Erev Shabbos, and we don't work on Matzah Shabbos, because even though Shabbos is technically speaking only 24 hours, But for us, we're going to say, we say Shabbos is 25 hours, right? Why? Because we're going to need a little time, a buffer zone on Friday, a little earlier when it may already be Shabbos. A buffer zone Matzoy Shabbos when it may still be Shabbos. But Shabbos itself, actually, in the truest sense, is only 24 hours. But no man who's wanted to observe Shabbos has ever observed a 24-hour Shabbos. Only Hashem observed the 24-hour Shabbos. Hashem worked 6 days down to the end. So the period of Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos is this period of time when, on the one hand, it's a time when things are being accomplished and created, and maybe accomplished and created in nature. But on the other hand, we also see in it the beginning of Shabbos. We see in it also this already the presence of the day of rest, and the day also of Vayivorech Hashem Ashvi Vayikadesh Oisai, the day of Shabbos, which is the day when we're supposed to somehow take the step beyond the physical creation of the world to see in it the presence of Hashem that goes beyond the physical creation. So the Maharal explains that when we speak about these things which are created on Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos, it's because in fact they bridge this gap. They are the miraculous within the world. They are these things which show the presence of Hashem within creation. Things which were created on the clear days of work, the clear days of natural work before the day of Hashem's rest, those things are things which just convey plain nature. And indeed, in those things, in a certain sense, as the world continues, as the world unfolds, we don't necessarily see the imprint of Kedusha, the imprint of God's presence with, you know, on them. But when you get to these items which were created, when they could still be created, because it's still the weekday, but on the other hand, to our view, to our perspective, they are already, in a sense, Shabbos-dik, so then, indeed, you have these Dvarim Me'al HaTeva. This is what the Maharal explains, the idea of Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos. Waiting for the end of the day, they're included, in a sense, Hashem included in creation the idea of things which go beyond Teva. But they're not in the regular period of time of creation, because they are reflecting in the ongoing, when they occur, when they pop up, when that mouth of the donkey pops up, when that mouth of the rock pops up, and so on and so forth. They are visible manifestations of the presence of Hashem, in a sense deviations from nature that nevertheless overlap.
Doesn't the Dayan by the Keda, what's so special about the Ayan? It's not a
piyasan, right? According to the one who counts as well, you know, Eile Shel Yitzchak. So one has to understand that Eile Shel Yitzchak is me'advorim shenivru be'er Shabbos bein Hashemashos, is a davar ba'atzmo, is something for itself. One has to understand, right? The ram that was used to replace Yitzchak. What was the miracle, right, in the ram of Yitzchak? So there's a right there. The truth is, I couldn't discuss it now, but I won't discuss it now. There's a whole separate realm of the things of the value of the Eloi Shel Yitzchak, that it was you know, every piece of it was destined for a very, very important part in the history of the Jewish people, also unfolding in a certain way. But yes, not as a outstanding michutz l'derech hateva.
So when we're taught that these things were created Bein HaShemashos, Erev Shabbos, that, I guess, for our benefit, because for Hashem, it's kind of dry. One, it was either Friday or it's a Shabbos.
Right.
But
and so is Ness. And so is the boundary between Ness and Teva. Right? You can have semantic arguments from today till tomorrow about what is a miracle. Is the fact that the sun rose this morning a miracle? Is the fact that, you know, we have what to eat, you know, a miracle? Is Parnassa a miracle? You know, like, where is the line between Teva and Ness? It's very, very difficult to draw. And we'll speak about open miracles and hidden miracles. Much of this, there really is no difference. But where the difference is in a difference of visibility, a difference of perception, right? That's a lot of where it is. So yes, of course, in truth, if Hashem is doing it as an act of creation, he's doing it as an act of creation because it's within the 6 days. But it sits there in that area, which to the recipient has that ambiguity of Shabbos, because it also, in a sense, represents and demonstrates more the Kedushas Hashem in the earth.
We find that Kriyas Yamsuf was a tznai in the creation of water itself, which means it doesn't seem to have been created Erev Shabbos, but rather when water was created.
Right. So there's a lot of such elements. Why the 10 items that are over here that are listed? Kriyas Yamsuf is not one of the things that are listed amongst the things that were created Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShemashes.
It stood for Yoshua.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, we're talking here about new phenomena that occur in the earth. And that occur over time, and there are many things to talk about in terms of this phenomenon in the Mishnah. And there's a major. thank you. That'll be a help. I forgot to make myself a tea. There's a major argument between the Rambam and the Maharal in terms of understanding what it's trying to say by saying they're created Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos. Rambam has a very significant approach here. However, I don't want to spend an extensive amount of time on that. The idea, what I'm bringing out here, is that that's Erev Shabbos. Now, Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos is when we say that those miracles occur. When it says Hashem was thinking about creating these things on Erev Shabbos, so it doesn't say Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos. These things were not necessary, you know, they're not, ultimately, they don't end up being the miraculous. But what they are is, what would you have on Erev Shabbos? What would be on Friday? Friday is the end, right? You're finishing up. And in a sense, in that sense, it's, you know, it's past creation. Okay, Hashem finished creating everything, all the basic elements, and now we're going to go and add things to it. The straight structure of Teva is already in place. Is there anything we want to add to it? So Hashem did want to add to it in terms of the world. He wanted to add to it the miraculous, which he created with the borderline of Shabbos. And he also wanted to add to it that which would be built in the world beyond that which would just organically grow and develop. And that includes these two examples. These two examples, which are the fire and the mule, which are not organically developing. They require an intervention. So it's building beyond the creation of the world. But now, that's what I would suggest is, you know, with the Maharal, is the idea of Erev Shabbos. This is the idea that Hashem wanted to create Erev Shabbos, because it's certainly going beyond the basic elemental teva of creation, those things which were just develop by themselves, right? Even though, again, even for two horses to get together and produce another one is also requiring. But there's some involvement and some intervention, but it's a natural development. It's a natural pattern of mating and procreating and developing. What we're talking about here is going beyond the natural order and structure and patterns that were created, and that was the postscript to the Sheishis Yemei Bereishis. But still, since it's going to be a factor in creation, so it belongs there in the days of creation. So if that's phase one. Phase two. Kivo shavas mikol melachto asher boro Elokim la'asos. The last line of Vayichulu, of the opening paragraph which we use and say in Kiddush on Friday night. On that day he rested from all of the melacha, from all of the work, from all of the crafts that he created, la'asos, to do. What does it mean he created it to do? What does it mean asher boro Elokim la'asos? Then he rested from all the malacha that he created. What's that he created? La'asos, to do. What does that mean? Rashi says, Hamalacha she'saruya la'asos b'shabbos kofal v'asah b'shishi. What does it mean? Asher bora Elokim la'asos. In a certain sense, what it's saying is Hashem indeed had double work on Friday. Why? Because there's work for Shabbos too. But what you do on Friday is you do, or you might parse that over the week, but you got to make sure that you work for Shabbos too. Now, normally, you know, you come home, you cook supper. However, you can't do that on Shabbos. So therefore, you have to make sure on Friday that you take care of Friday's needs as well as taking care of Shabbos days, Shabbos needs. That's the kefil. That's the lechem mishnah, right? The double loaf that came down on Friday because it couldn't come down. It couldn't come down on Shabbos. That's the way Rashi interprets Asher Bor Elokim La'asos. The Ibn Ezra interprets Asher Bor Elokim La'asos. He says he created Hasharoshim B'chol Haminim. He created the roots of all species. Hashem didn't create the whole world, the whole eternal world on the 6 days of creation. He created the template. He created the beginning of everything that would then develop. He created them, and he created in them the power lasais, to recreate. He created the first couple of horses, and then he gave them the power to perpetuate themselves and to build on and to make more and more and more of those horses. So that's the idea of lasais. He created it lasais, that then it would further develop. Not quite, because over there it's a needed phrase. In other words, what they're dealing with over here is the redundancy, right? Right there, Mafli Lasos, Hashem does wonders, right? He heals all flesh and he does wonders. Right? That's the expression over there. Over here we want to know from all the work that he created to do. Right, that's created to make, right? So he's saying he created the originals that they should be able to make subsequently. They should be able to make more. The Ramban quotes the interpretation of Rashi. He quotes the interpretation of the Ibn Ezra, and then he goes on, and he has a couple of interpretations of his own. The Lini Rapirus Shavas Mikom Lachtei Asher Bora Yesh Me'ayin. Ramban interprets it based on the classic understanding of the difference between the term bria for making and the term asiya for making, two Hebrew words. Bria means ex nihilo, yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. Bereishis bara Elokim. But then, subsequently, vayas, he made. In other words, when he takes existing matter and he forms it into something, refines it, develops it, that is asiya. So when we speak about the work of the past, which has already been described in the Torah, not like the Ibn Ezra says, perpetuating it forward, but the work which is described in the 6 days, it's divided between the bria, the original creation of matter, and the asiya. And then the refinement and development of that matter. That's Asher Bora Elokim Lasos. And on Shabbos, he stopped, he didn't create, and he didn't develop. He didn't either. Okay. He brings another shot, another technical approach. And then he brings his famous interpretation, where he says that Asher Bora Elokim Lasos is that the 6 days of creation model the 6 millennia of existence, and that what he created here in this 6 days, lasos, would ultimately unfold in dramatic the right term is to use over here. It would unfold dramatically over time, and how the development of the light is corresponding to Adam Arishon, who was there on the first day of creation, who was called the light of the world. Right, that's why women light candles on Shabbos, because Chava gave him to eat and extinguished the light of the world. So therefore, we want him to relight the candle of the world, and so on and so forth. A much more dramatic and mystical interpretation. However, with the Gemara that we learned here in Psachim, we have additional aspect to this creation, and it says this somewhere. I can't tell you where, but it says it somewhere. Not because it's a secret, I just don't remember where. But the Gemara says that here you had creation, And Hashem wanted to continue to creation, to have something that would be developed beyond, to take the stones and rub them together to make a fire, to take these animals and put them together to create a new kind of an animal, a new species, a mule. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to do. And then he said, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to leave it for man, that man is going to do it. And then he put in man Deya, wisdom, corresponding to the wisdom of Hashem, and he was able to come up with this and do these things and put them together.
Is Kodem a chet or after a chet? Or does it not matter? Is man... If he had Shleimus before, then there was no need. It could have been created.
It could be that without the chet, everything would have been Keshulchan Aruch Lefanav, Hashem would have done it himself. Definitely. So the Ibn Ezra's interpretation that Hashem created, he created the core world, lasais, but then it's expected to build beyond. He voishavas mikol malachto, asher bor Elokim, he rested from the work that which he created, lasos, that it would then do. What Hashem did essentially was he stopped his creative energies at the end of the 6 days. Shabbos was his day of rest. When Sunday started up again, so Hashem's creative developmental energies did not renew in a visible way. Right now, Olam Kiminhago Noeg, the world continues. But now, there are still creative energies that happen in the world. The development is now in man. Hashem puts in man wisdom like the divine wisdom in order to be able to create. That's part of the Tzelem Elokim, part of man's assumption of the creative role within the world. Asher bara Elokim la'asos. Bria is something which we attribute completely to Hashem. Asiya is something which is a property which is shared by man. Man has the opportunity, and in a certain sense one could say the responsibility, to go beyond, to now pick up where Hashem left off. And it's fascinating when you consider it, because we speak here about two creations, but there's one which is clearly, and we're going to talk about this in a moment in the third piece more at length, right? But one of them which is clearly the one which is the banner creation of man, and that's the fire, right? The fire is more positive than the mule. The fire, we don't have questions about, like with the mule, what's he doing with kilayim and so on and so forth, you know, mixed breedings and so on and so forth. The fire is the one we make the bracha on right after Shabbos. What did Hashem create on the first day of creation? Vayomer Elokim, yihi or, let there be light. What does man create on Matzoi Shabbos? Fire, ma'orei o'esh, right? It's a fire which we need to benefit from, and the benefit is a benefit of illumination, right? We hold our fingers up to be able to tell, to be able to distinguish, right? It's the oir that's created by man. So in a sense, what you have here is a redux going again through the first day of creation, on the first day of creation. It's Motzai Shabbos, it's the first day of creation again, but now creation is in the hands of man. Asher bara Elokim la'asos. When it says that Hashem thought to do it on the Sheshes Mei Bereishis, but then he said, you know what, I'm going to give it man, and he gave man the ability to do it Matzoi Shabbos. It could be understood as a change of plans, right? Maybe like I said before, you know, Hashem was going to do everything. But then he stepped back and he said, because man sinned, by the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread. So man becomes responsible to a certain degree to some of those things. That could be the nechama. That could be the change of heart of Hashem. Or, as we find many times the expression in Chazal and how it's understood, it doesn't necessarily mean, oh, you know what, I changed my mind, I'm not going to do this. But this was indeed, there was an ideal that this needed to be in the world in nature, and then this is the way it was meant to be carried out. It's meant to be carried out that man would be the one to actually carry it forward. Dugma shelmala, in the language of the Gemara, in following the model of Hashem, or First day, creative possibilities that exist in the hand of man. And that is beyond nature, beyond what HaKadosh Baruch Hu just created himself, the elements. It's now developing it, refining it a step further. There's a famous discussion which we have in the Medrash between Turnus Rufus, the Roman, and Rabbi Akiva, where he said, tell me something, Rabbi Akiva, what's better, what Hashem creates or what's man-made? And Rabbi Akiva answered him and he said, what's man-made? And he said, what? And he came back to him and he said, tell me something, why do you Jews have a bris milah? And Rabbi Akiva says, that's exactly why I answered you originally what's man-made. I knew exactly where you were going. Right? His question was, you know, if Hashem created a person, you know, with an arla, so then why do we go ahead and try to refine it and try to cut it off? So he says, tell me something, what did you have for lunch today? A peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Right? The bread grew on trees? Right, Hashem created the wheat, and what did you do? You went and you harvested and you grounded it up and you developed it and you kneaded it and you baked it. Right, you did a lot in order to be able to get it someplace. Hashem created the world to a certain point, and then he said, "There's more that has to happen here." Right, the finished product is bread, but I'm only taking it to this step. La'asos, you have to take it the rest of the way. That's part of the original intention. The Beis Halevi says that that's the pshat when Hashem came to Avram Avinu. He said, "Ani keil shakai hisalech lefanai ve'yesamim." The way Hashem introduced himself to Avram when he gave him the mitzvah of bris milah, he said, "I am the God of Shakai." Right? Shakai is say Chazal she'omar la'olam ma'idai. He said to the world, "Enough." Right? That's the name of God where he stopped the creation. Says the Beis Halevi, beautiful. Indeed, the world needed to reach a certain point. Hashem created it, brought it along a few steps, and he would have continued it, to finish it, to make it whole. But he stopped. And he said, the rest is the responsibility of man, l'sakein olam b'malchus shakai. The responsibility of man to fix, to complete the world where Hashem left off. That's what this Gemara is expressing over here. Hashem gave the wisdom to Adam HaRishon, like his wisdom, to finish the job, to finish the work. Shared responsibility. I may remind you a little bit in the Torah realm of what the Maharal spoke about earlier in the Be'er HaGola about the elements of Torah which were left for man to develop. He gave Torah as Hashem and Hashemayim, and then there are things which man is supposed to bring out from Torah. Right? The same, of course, in a certain sense, in a more visible way, that raises less questions when it comes to the elements of the physical creation. Okay, so yes.
As the principle we all know, we say in davening,
"Betuva b'chol yom tamid maaseh bereishis."
So how's that?
Okay, so there we speak about how Hashem renews constantly bereishis. And we cite the verse as it says, "La'osa orim gedolim ka'amur." Right? It's only tefillah where we bring a proof in the tefillah, as it says, "La'osa orim gedolim." He who makes the great luminaries, not she'asa, who made them, but who makes them in an ongoing way. Hashem renews masa bereishis constantly. So that's a very, very important concept. The Rambam writes about it as right in the very beginning of his code as the foundational emunah, foundational faith, to realize that the world continues to exist only because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That it's not the idea that Hashem created a monster and now it's out of control, he can't deal with it, he can't do anything about it. No, he created it and he continues to sustain it. It would not continue to exist for a moment without him. That's the idea that we're expressing over there. But we're not necessarily talking about Hashem intervening in an ongoing way. Right? Rav Huttner had a very sophisticated mimer about it, but it starts with a very simple question. The very simple question he asks is, if Hashem has to renew creation constantly, so what do you mean that Hashem rests on Shabbos? Right? How does Hashem rest on Shabbos? He's renewing creation constantly. What's the difference between Shabbos and any of the other days? So Rav Huttner has a very elaborate approach. The simple answer to the question is that there's the visible creation and then there's the invisible creation, like we spoke about Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. Yes, Hashem is in an ongoing way keeping the world going, But that's a very different kind of action than the development of the world. It's not development when he keeps the world going. The development at this point is our development. And Hashem is not developing, and on Shabbos as well, we, Dugma Shalmala, following the divine model, we also don't actively develop and change things.
When I say Borei Ma'oriel Eish without any reference to man's participation, we're referring to the original Orus that the Rabbeinu Shalom created.
We're not. That's the remarkable thing. When we say who created the Ma'orei Ha'esh, we're referring to the fire that was produced from the flint, or that we produced here on Matzoi Shabbos with a match or a lighter.
So where does Borei come in?
We also say, blessed are you Hashem, who's Motzi Lechem in Aretz. I didn't get bread out of the earth. I got flour out of the earth. But in a sense, that's part of the bracha, the attribution. We understand that all goes back to the creation of Shakai. And that what we have done in it is just what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, giving us the strength, giving us the ability to do it. And in a sense, that's what we do. We give back. Right? The bracha is HaShemayim Shemayim LaShem Varetz Nasam Livnei Adam. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, and the earth He gave to man. Right? So we go, and in fact, what indeed is most interesting is the two most significant brachas are the ones which require the most production. Borei Hamotzi Lechem in Haaretz, and Borei Pri Hagefen. Right? Borei Pri Hagefen. Blessed Hashem who creates the fruits of the vine. You don't make that on grapes. You make that on vine. Right? That's the only thing you make the bracha on, something which has to be produced. Which has to be produced by man, has to be developed in that way. So therefore, right, because in a sense that's the idea. We recognize that even in that which we are creating, which we are developing, that's what Hashem wanted to create in a sense on the 6 days of creation, and He just parceled out that responsibility to us. We attribute it to Him.
Isn't He really saying, He created within these stretches of Abraishis the Malam in the Tava, the continuation, the eighth day, which is beyond. And if you think of it, the mule is a biological creation, and the fire is a physical creation with inanimate things. So He created that potential to deal with both living and energy.
Okay. So let's look at that now. Let's look at the third piece. So again, the first piece was to see that Erev Shabbos was post the creation of the patterns of creation, the natural organic order. Hashem wanted at the end on Friday to also create, so to speak, that which would go beyond the natural organic order, which included on the one hand the 10 items which were created at twilight Erev Shabbos, the miraculous, and on the other hand the ability for man to go beyond the organic, to develop things and create things. And then the second thing which we spoke about here was the idea specifically of man's creative role, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu very much left a component for man's creative role, for man to be able to develop things beyond.
You see, Rebbe drew the parallel that Adam Rishon created fire when Hashem created fire on the first day. Couldn't we also add that of all the things that man develops or whatever he does, the thing that's closest to Yesh Me'ayin would be this rubbing together of two stones and creating a fire to mirror the same Yesh Me'ayin creation on the first day?
It could be. It could be. It could be. I would only just point out that the Bria, Yesh Me'ayin, the creation of something from nothing, preceded the creation of fire. It wasn't the creation of fire. It was Es HaShamayim Ves HaAretz. Before the creation of fire, you have the Yesh Me'ayin. But it's an interesting,
The mule doesn't fit the first time.
Okay, so let's now go.
Yeah, was the mule something that was needed in the world?
Okay, now it's not perfectly clear, right? It's not perfectly clear to me that we have to necessarily say that it all happened Matzai Shabbos. But just think about the mule for a second. If you think about the order of creation, the fire was the first thing. What was the last thing?
Man, woman.
Okay.
Don't go there.
Man, woman. Okay. Man, woman. But if you're going to think about what man, you know, the Bria leading up to man, would be behemoths, the animals, right? The first creation, the main physical creation of the sixth day was the animals. Then Hashem took an animal and He put into him the neshama, which was the human being. So if you look at man as to what's in front of him, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man and he said, I'm making you in the godly image and you will control the whole world up to and including the animals. So in a sense, the fire is the first thing and the animals are the last thing. So you have the light is the first thing and the animals are the last thing. The fire is the first thing and the mule is the last thing. They're sort of like bookends on creation that we see man given the power lassos. Right? So yes, read simply, the Gemara would be saying that Matzai Shabbos, he gave him the wisdom and he created the fire and he made it together, the mules. But we could say Matzai Shabbos, he gave him the wisdom and he started by creating the fire. And ultimately he went and he put together, you know, the mules. Maybe he had the wisdom already. He didn't do it. Could be that he didn't do it till later. But one way or the other, I would not be overly focused on that exact thing. But just the fact, we make the bracha on the fire Matzai Shabbos. So what's the fire versus the mule? So the Maral says, the Maral's main focus in it, he obviously presents them as two opposites. Shnei Hafachim. They're two opposites. They both are these things that are developed by people taking various ingredients within the existing universe and putting them together to create something. But the mule is very simple, right? It's a physical combination. You take from the horse, you take from the donkey, you put them together, and this is what you get from the mule. And in fact, what comes out between the two of them is, in many, many ways, really inferior, a dead end. The Gemara speaks about the fact, which is a fact in nature, that mules do not reproduce. They cannot develop, they cannot perpetuate themselves. In a sense, they represent the ultimate in mortality. What Hashem creates can be eternal. Our notion, when we speak about eternity for human beings, would be, well, the eternity is the potential to create, to develop. You know, Brok Harada Avuha and Yaakov Avinu didn't die because his children were b'chaim, and so on and so forth. The mule is a deathly, empty bria, in a sense representing the ultimate weakness of what man is able to create. And on the other hand, you have the fire. Now think about it. Maral doesn't say this, but I think it's Eizkat Seichem. Is the fire is the ultimate in procreation. The Gemara says, you know, that when you know, ner le'echad, ner le'meya, a candle for one is a candle for 100, right? It's not something which you have to really like divide up. Excuse me, that's my candle. Once the light is there, it's there for everybody. You go, by ner katan madlik esagol, right? Katan madlik esagol, you can ignite, you go, you want to light another one from this one, another one from this one, another one from this one. It doesn't fundamentally take away from the first one. Doesn't fundamentally take away from the first one. There is maybe a question, a chashash, we speak about in the Gemara and Shabbos, about maybe it draws a little bit of the extra oil, a little bit of extra energy. But fundamentally, the way you see it is, it just gives and gives and gives and creates and develops more and more and more, and it never wanes. And in a sense, when we look at fire, we say, well, fire is one of the physical elements which exists in the world, it is the most transcendent. It is the most representative of that which is beyond. It's this energy, right? It's just, you know, energy, which is a physical item, but on the other hand, there's a certain metaphysical quality to it. So you have here these two polar opposites. One of them, they take two stones. Stones are the most basic part of creation, right? Inanimate, they're yesodos. And you go and you rub them together, and what comes out? The most magnificent, the highest of creation. And then the other one is you take two animals, which would be considered the highest form of creation, and you put them together, and what comes out? Yes, an animal, but an animal may have chusim shaban, of the lowest. And so what this really represents is that man was given a power. He was given a power to be markiv, to put things together, to create, to develop, to generate. But look at the polar opposites of what he's able to generate. On the one hand, you have him creating something almost spiritual from putting these things together. And on the other hand, you have him creating something so base, banal, you know, mortal, physical, from putting those things together. Zel umazel zelokim. Is it a... Therefore, you know, you're going to ask, but kilayim is usher. Right? Making mixed breedings is usher. Some manipulations of creation are not, even though man has the mastery to do it, he's not, yeah, that's right. It's usher. He gave man the ability to do it, though. He gave him the wisdom and the ability to do it. Hashem gives man the ability and the wisdom to do things that are forbidden, and he gives him free choice. Do you want to create the Esh? Do you want to create the Preda? Do you want to create the fire? Do you want to create the mule? Right? Those are the possibilities. That's part of the Oretz Nasan Livnei Adam. Man has the ability. Man can do good or bad. The Ein Mishim Yakev Biyodeh. That's part of the creation which Hashem gave to man. Man is unique. Nobody's going to be able to stop him. He'll be able to go this way. He'll be able to go that way. He'll be able to generate life. He'll be able to generate death in whichever way it is that he chooses to go. That's what the Gemara is saying when HaKadosh Baruch Hu held back and he gave the power over to man. Yes, relinquishing a great degree of control of the world, giving man in his hands the ability to do much. And it's Biyodeinu. He gave us the wisdom, the insight, the ability to be able to do both.
We learned by Moshe, by the Shem Zichenim, that when he gave over of his, it was like the fire which
didn't diminish his at all.
Right.
He gave some of his, right? Very good. Right.
Even by cloning, it's an inferior product.
Right. So far, at least, we're not having a problem with seeing that result. Right. They don't have a long lifespan, and
they're sick.
They don't reproduce. They're sickly immune systems, but. You know, the jury is still out as to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu will enable them to do, but we'll have to see. Okay, so that's how he does that. Brings life to a Gemara. Huh?
Instead of the mule, they talk about the nectarine, which is a combination of a peach and a plum. I mean,
right.
Same.
But they do reproduce. Huh?
I don't know. Can you plant the nectarine seed and produce a nectarine? I don't know.
I assume so. I don't know. I assumed from the amount of nectarines.
<It'd be more expensive>.
I would assume that you can. The Preda, you know, again, the Preda is being brought as an extreme. It's
right.
Brought as an extreme. It represents all of those negative things. Makas Preda is, you know, the mortal ones. Okay, there is one more section. We're not getting with just another illustrative section, another example. Be'ezus Hashem, next time, I believe. One second, hold on, that makes sense. Next. Yeah, next time we will, Me'ez Hashem, start on the third well, whose theme is Drashos, meaning when the Gemara learns things from verses which seem to be not a simple, basic, faithful reading of the verse. What are they doing? How do they interpret this? How do they read this into the pasuk? And that's what the Maral is going to be approaching, another aspect of Divrei Chazal. Okay, be well. A good vach. We should hear.